Weddings with me, your host as always, Brian Dressel. With me, as always, is Matt, Zombie Dog, Terror Dog, Dykes.
Love it. Absolutely good one, right? Love it. Zombie Dog, Terror Dog.
We also
dogs,
have
all the dogs.
I just got to keep finding you more and more evil dogs.
Cujo.
Oh, there we go. That maybe at some point, if it's on this list, that might be you at some point. We also have Mr. Drew Tooth Fairy Staten.
Tooth Fairy?
Tooth Fairy. I'm guessing that you cannot guess where this list has come from.
If this is a Hellboy 2 reference, I'm going to be fine with it.
Well done.
Awesome.
So I new season, new nicknames, as I like to do, and I went to a list on denofgeek.com. The top 100 TV and movie monsters, and that's where I'm going to be pulling all the nicknames from throughout this season. So we had Tooth Fairies from Hellboy, and we had Terror Dogs from Ghostbusters. That's how we're getting started.
Oh, is that what they're called?
Yeah, apparently according to this list.
I had no idea that they were called Terror Dogs.
According to Den of Geek, they are called Terror Dogs. I'm sure that's probably wrong. It is Den of Geek. It is not the most reputable source.
Wait, I'm sorry. Like Terra as in like Earth Dog, like T-E-R-R-A, or Terror Dog?
Terror.
Okay.
Terror. That makes more
sense. Yeah, that...
Hey, buddy. Nice little pooch. Maybe I got a milk bone.
I mean, I have not seen Ghostbusters Afterlife yet. Is that the new one's called? Or is that the other one?
I think it's called Afterlife, the new one.
Whatever, yeah. The new Jason
yeah,
Reitman
the new
one.
I haven't seen either of them yet.
I will say the last remake's biggest mistake was not including Rick Moranis. And if this new one also doesn't include Rick Moranis, you still have not made a good Ghostbusters sequel, and you never will. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that in the face of all those nerds out there who've released their reviews today that it's the best movie ever. I'm like, it's not, unless it has Rick Moranis in it. So if it is, then I'll retract this statement. But no Rick Moranis, no Ghostbusters. Hard and firm stance.
Well, I mean, in their defense, he's been retired for a very long time. So getting him back into a movie might be kind of tough.
Yeah, well, there's your answer. Can you get him in the movie? No, I guess we're not making it then. Moving on.
Fair point.
Here we are, season two of What We Do in the Shadows. Who, what, when, where, and why we do in the shadows. I am very excited to talk about season two. I think season two has the best episode out of both of the first two seasons. Unfortunately, it is not either ones today, but both are either ones that we're recording today are the one you're listening to today. But both of these are fantastic episodes. And we're starting things off with Resurrection. Resurrection picks up right after the end of season one-ish. I think there's been like, what, 3 months? I
make it sound like they talk about it being throughout the summer. They talk about, you know, like through our summer, we did this and stuff like that.
Yeah, so you can assume the documentary crew took a few months off and then came back and... Or maybe they did, because they do have some footage of some of them, but they haven't been talking to them as much. They don't really explain that.
They left a camera. It's fine.
I'm kind of fine with it. I don't really need the nitty-gritty details. But I do need this episode. I think as far as like a season two opener, this is about as good as it could have possibly been.
Can of espresso beans later.
Yeah.
maybe two-thirds.
Sure.
I mean, you should drink more water.
That might be one of the funniest sight gags in this show.
Seriously, like it dropped and I was like, wow, that looks like, and then he said the line, I was like, god damn it, yes.
Oh, home run.
You should probably drink more water.
So anyhow, if you're not up to date in the show, what's going on right now is that now that Guillermo knows he is the Van Helsing, he is just fucking murdering vampires. Because our Laszlo, Nadia, and Nandor have all escaped from the council, and they shouldn't have done that. So they keep getting fucking vampire assassins sent after him. But Guillermo's such a good familiar that he just keeps killing the vampires, and they're none the wiser. I love that so much.
I love the bit where Nadj is like, yeah, but could you be quiet? I'm trying to sleep. And it's like, okay.
I just love the, and we're going to get to him in a minute, but I love the them knocking on the door and Topher just opening it, like, coming in.
Yeah. Yeah. Straight in.
Exactly.
Don't even pay attention. Oh my God. I swear the two vampires look at each other and just go, whoa.
It's just because like these don't look like the vampires that we've seen throughout the show. These look like very Nosferatu-esque vampires, yeah, with the very long ears. And
exactly.
Just, like, very like picturesque, like vampire. It's like, what are these goofy things doing? They just keep getting murdered time and time again. It's just, it's such a wonderful way to open this show.
Oh God.
But beyond that, we also have to catch up with Laszlo and Nadia, who have really taken to trying to find a familiar. And it has not been going well. It does lead. I don't want to ruin my favorite quote so early in the episode, but I'm going to have to. When they're going through all their familiars that have died over the past few months, and like, oh, do you remember him? I'm sorry, I don't. I can't. I'm not too familiar. And just laughing at the fact their familiar died again. Like, I love Laszlo Nadia.
No, you do remember him. He shit his intestines out of his asshole. Oh, that chap.
Oh, yes.
No explanation there. Just like, no, 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 he really fucking died. So with that in mind, they finally found the end-all be-all of familiars. And it's fucking Haley Joel Osment as Topher.
Topher!
When this started, like when this episode came out, I'm like, wow, I can't wait they got him to be a regular. Like, what a weird...
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking, I wonder if he's going to be a regular now. And then it's like, oh, no, he's dead.
Oh, no, there he goes. And it's like, he makes it, what, maybe 5 minutes in the episode?
Oh, Jesus.
And he's super fucking annoying the whole time he's there. He's just like the most like shitty fucking familiar who's just like... doesn't even want to be a vampire. Like, the whole reason people want to be familiars is like, nah, dog, I just want to, you know, hang. High five.
Yeah.
He's just the most annoying.
Him and
person.
Colin Robinson. Fucking hell. Where he's just talking to him. He's like, you know, I'm having a real pickle draining you.
You know, I'd like to, Toph dog, but having a real trouble figuring out how to drain you. I know, man. I'm sorry. Just everything you say is so interesting.
Oh, we've skipped over it. I've just seen in my notes. I can't believe I forgot about that. Like what Colin Robinson did over the summer when he got when he got his car.
Oh my God!
It's like, I bought a convertible, yeah. Got some tunes, and blocked the Lincoln Tunnel, and then he just cuts to him. Yeah, I don't know. And then he just like looks up to the camera, and is like, ah.
I just love the like. This is going to ruin my day just as much as yours.
And what is he wearing as well? He's got like fucking driving goggles on or something.
Colin Robinson is just so great. He doesn't have a ton to do in this episode. Like we've mentioned before, but like every time he shows up, it just crushes it. Like fucking dead Topher lands on the ground and he just walks by like, oh, what's up with Toph Dog? I think he's a zombie. Oh, that makes sense. Well, see you later. God, I love it. So essentially, Topher's annoying as shit, and he keeps getting in the way. And then eventually, trying to do some lawn work, he stumbles into some water that has a live wire in it, and yep, he sure dies. So what do you do with a dead familiar? Well, you take him to a necromancer, right?
Yeah.
That's the only logical option, right?
Yeah, obviously. Like, you know, do you not take your familiars to necromancers?
I mean, that's probably what I would do, especially if my necromancer was fucking Benedict Wong.
Wong, right? Yep. God damn it. Oh, brilliant.
He's in this episode. I was actually going to time it on my rewatch, and then I didn't have time to watch it twice. But I think he's in the episode for maybe 3 minutes, and he might be my favorite character of season two. Like, there's a strong chance. Just from when he starts doing, like, they start doing, like, his necromancy to turn him up. And he's clearly just scatting. Just, you know, whatever. And they call him out. And I'm like, is he scatting? And he's like, no. Zippity-doo. Bop. It's like, Why is he on his phone? You just see him like he has his one hand up, casting his spell. The other one, he's just texting.
It's like maybe it was an important message or something.
But he, like, from the moment he's on screen, he is one of the funniest things this show has done to date. Like, I love Haley Joel Osment like in everything, and I think he just like, he's a very special actor. When he shows up, it's always worthwhile. But it's tough to ever even attempt to outshadow Benedict Wong on the best of days. But when he's like firing on all cylinders, it's like, just get the fuck out of his way. He's going to own this scene.
Yeah, he's just brilliant. Like, it's quite interesting, like, watching some like older British shows that he's in.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so weird. Like, you know, he's so kind of like back in those days, like, you know, he's doing like very dramatic roles. Mm-hmm. But he's so good as a comedic character as well.
Well, he's doing these crazy dramatic roles, and then he'll pop into like IT Crowd. And it's just like, holy, he's the funniest thing in that episode of IT Crowd. Like, he doesn't have much to do, but every line he says is funny. Like, we can't play Street Countdown. It's too dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Well, it is a little cold out. Oh, I have a coat. Oh, then you'll probably be fine.
I don't remember him in IT Crowd.
It's the countdown episode.
The countdown episode where Moss goes on countdown to win the countdown teapot. Benedict Wong is like the Morpheus Christ. Character in that.
Yeah. That's right. God, I didn't even realize that was him.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've watched that show all the way through.
Sure. And yeah, I mean, I go back pretty often just because, you know, it's one of my go-to, like, I need to laugh. I'll just turn that on. And that's one of my favorite episodes, largely because of Benedict Wong. Just like this is one of my favorite episodes of this season, again, because of Benedict Wong. And it just helps that him and Haley Joel Osment are both in this episode. And they're both hysterical.
I mean, it's like everyone's firing on all cylinders in this episode as well. It's so good.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like, whenever you get an episode like this that's just so funny from wall to wall, I feel like the person who always takes the biggest hit for, like, their moments of being funny is Nandor, and this one is just another episode that does that. Like, Nandor's still good in it. He still has good moments. Like, I like it when they're trying their best to kill Topher, and it's just not working.
This fucking guy.
Fucking guy.
He was like, a good man and a good familiar. Topher! Fucking guy.
He's like, just turn it on. I'll be fine. And he's like, turns on the electricity. Tickles a little bit.
Tickles.
Like, I think Nandor is always funny, but like his character just isn't quite as, I don't know, loud as some of these other ones. And when you get an episode like this where everyone's just so up, it's just tough for him to be there. And it's not a critique against the actor at all. I just think that's just kind of how the show rolls. And it's still fine because he's still funny.
Well, Nando's kind of like this. I think we've said this before. Nando's kind of like the straight man of the vampires, really. Yeah. He's the straightest of them anyway. So I think that's kind of why when all this wacky shit's going on, his character's probably the one that does take the hit a bit more because he has to still be the straight man of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Because, like, even looking at it, you know, in hindsight, like, Nadia doesn't have a ton to do in this one either, but she's still funny. But I don't think she has, like, any of my favorite lines.
No, like, there wasn't... I don't think I actually wrote down anything of Nadia's... Oh, I got one. Yeah, there's actually one.
Oh, yeah. What was the one?
It's at the end where with the license plates. I got Nadia, which is my name, with a less exciting J.
That's pretty good.
This is the look on her face, which sells it as well, because she looks so happy.
I like Guillermo's. I got Gigi, which is, you know,
better than Gizmo.
Better than Gizmo. But yeah, it's just a very entertaining start to season two. Like, it does a very good job of, like, you're back at it. Like, the gang's all here. We have a little bit more money. Look at these shiny cameos that we have in here. But it's still the same show. Like, you're still going to laugh. You're still going to have a great time. And I that's kind of what I hope for in a season two opener. And I think this one does a great job of it. It doesn't really do a lot with story. Like, it doesn't really try to set anything up too much. Like, they do kind of hint at something that's now kicking around in season three. But no, that's the next episode. They kick around that.
I think the only thing that's kind of like that's really set up or seems like it's setting something up is the revelation that the Council of Vampires is keep coming to try and kill Nando, Nadir, and Laszlo, and Guillermo is like protecting them. But I don't know if that is actually set up for anything or if it's just used as like just a joke in just this episode. But it feels like set up.
I mean, that plot line obviously will come back at some point, but that to me feels like more of a setup for, or more of an establishment of, look at how good Guillermo is at murdering vampires now.
Yeah.
Like multiple vampires come every night, and he doesn't have a problem with a single one of them.
Yeah.
Like, he's so good at it that the people living in the house don't know he's doing it.
Yeah,
which is quite funny when you call back to the trial as well, where they're like, this guy killed a vampire. No.
That to me is the funniest part of this episode and just the setup, because like they just don't give a shit about anything he does. That's how much attention they don't pay. Is he's literally fucking murking vampires left and right over the summer. No one sees it. No one even cares because it's Gizmo. He's whatever. He's an idiot. And they just don't look. And the poor dude has been like, he hasn't slept. So he's got, but now we can talk about it. He has the fucking can of chocolate covered espresso beans that he's eating to stay awake. And then when he's trying to like hide one of the dead vampires, he drops them. Nandor comes in. He's like, were you making a poop? Like, yes, master, you should drink more water. Because it hit the ground. I was like, oh, man, he's in the bathroom, and it looks like rabbit turds. And then he said the line, and I was like, thank you, God. The joke that I wanted has come to fruition. Like, they just hinted at it like they always do. They didn't hit it right on the nose. Like, it looks like rabbit pit shit. Like, it's just like, you should drink more water. That might be my favorite moment of this episode. Actually, no, that's not my favorite. It is second to it. It is second to it.
I mean, that is, and it's just so Nandor. Like,
yeah,
like it's not him being mean. That's him actually showing like his version of concern. Like, oh, you're not healthy. Drink some more water. Like,
yeah,
he's just kind of being nice for a moment. Like, oh,
so great.
I also love that he's totally cool with the fact that his familiar just shit all over the floor. Like, the only problem is more that he just needs to drink more water.
I mean, it happens. He's drug his cape through poop multiple times. It's just, it's literally, shit happens.
And then, like,
and to be fair, does a vampire actually use the bathroom? Is that just Guillermo's bathroom?
I mean, I'm guessing it's just Guillermo's. If they ever want their dinner to eat before they eat their dinner. Or dinner, use a bathroom before they eat their dinner.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a
vampire shitting.
I mean Colin Robinson probably does.
Yeah, but nobody gives a shit about Colin Robinson.
No, they really don't. But I feel like as the show's gone on, Colin Robinson gets more and more bold. And I kind of enjoy that.
Yeah.
I mean, we definitely have an episode later on in this season where he gets very bold, and I'm really looking forward to that one. But even now, just like his jokes are just a little bit meaner. Like, he doesn't hide stuff as much. Like, he's not creeping in the corner as much. He's mostly just there to annoy you. And I'm kind of here for that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he's literally just there in meetings now doing it intentionally. And it's like, what was it that he was doing? Like, wearing something? It's like, why would you do that? It's like, to annoy you. Touché.
Oh, his cologne, yeah.
That was like the cologne, yeah.
Yeah. Why are you wearing cologne? To annoy you. Touché. Touché.
That's right. It's called Mr. Bojangles as well, wasn't it?
Perfect. God. Is there anything we haven't talked about in this episode that you feel like we need to make sure we talk about before we start moving like our favorite moments? Because I feel like I'm just kind of holding back for my favorite moment now.
I just wanted to mention like a behind the scenes thing that I found out. The bit where Topher's arm falls off. That arm was actually made for Haley Joel Osment in The Boys. The Boys and What We're Doing in the Shadow
have
the same effects company. So they just reused that arm.
They just reused it? That's awesome.
That's hilarious. I mean, why not, right?
Haley Joel Osment, absolutely. He loses an arm. We've got his arm right here.
Yeah, we got that.
It we didn't make an arm for Haley Joel Osment. You're not going to believe this, man. I've already got one.
How in the fuck? Don't ask. It's just... We'll just say we have it. That's all you need to know.
I like to make arms for celebrities in my downtime. It's a weird hobby.
Just the one arm, though.
Yeah. God help them if they lose their right arm. But I got plenty of lefts.
Don't ask what I do with the arms, though.
All right. Well, let's move into our favorite moments. Drew, you teased yours pretty hard earlier. What's your favorite moment of this episode?
It is actually what we just talked about. When it's like the high five and he just smack and goes, and Jeremy was just like, shit. Wait, does he say shit or does he say God damn it? I can't remember which it is now.
I think it's God damn it, actually.
God damn it. Like, it is that, just the tonality is, it's Dennis from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. God damn it. Like, it's just like, this is all I needed at the end of the day. Like, this guy's trying to eat me. Okay, we're being friends. Now I broke him again. So, yeah, that's my favorite. It's between that or the drink more water line. Like, it's a really tough toss-up for me.
I also love in that scene with the hand falling off. Like, Topher still wants another high five. Like, high five! Like, we didn't really talk too much about zombie Topher and just how he basically just screams either high five or just his name Topher.
Yeah.
It crawls on the ceiling, which is hysterical. But like in that scene, like when he knocks his arm off.
Did you not do that before? No!
No! But wait, he knocks his arm off and he still wants another high five, and Guillermo just tries to be nice about it. No, Topher, I'm not going to give you a high five anymore. High five! Just starts beating him with his own severed arm. God damn, that's a good scene. Man alive. Matt, why don't you go? I'm kind of between three of them, and I want to pick one.
It's all there, razzle dazzle, man. Good, good. I can't stress enough the $350 cash. Yeah, I bet you can. Otherwise, the spells don't work. Just the idea that the spells need $350 cash.
That's.
Yeah, can't stress that enough, mate. They won't work.
God damn it.
I wish I could do an impression of his accent as well, because like the voice he has on that he puts on in this is just brilliant.
It's so good. I honestly, you know what, my favorite moment is going to be a bit of a cheat, and it's just going to be anything with Benedict Wong from this episode. Like, both the first time they show up to him and the second time when he gives him the free license plate keychains. Like, all of that. Like, I noticed you don't have a Colin. No Colin. But you have condom. Very popular, that one.
Yeah, I love it. You don't have Colin. It's like, we haven't sold any since 1979, mate. But you have condom. Very, very popular. And I love the sort of mid-credits tag, and you like when they takes him down into the basement. You can actually hear the zombie. It's very faint, but you can actually hear the zombies in the little factory thing saying the name. So you hear one of them go condom.
Yep. That's one of the last words.
Another one goes GG.
I love when you hear the one condom. I'm like, my god. And I love that Topher goes down still trying to sell his fucking, like, microbrew, what is it?
Doze apples.
Doze apples! Yeah. Just make the license plate. Topher!
Oh, the Doze apples thing where he's explaining it to Colin Robertson, though. And he's telling him about, like, handing him out. He's like, and I can explain this to people while I'm handing it out. And he just looks so
God,
happy.
I forgot about that one. Yes, that is... That might be, damn it. That's also in the toss up. I completely forgot about that. So you're just saying I can just keep talking about this one thing. It's like, yeah, excellent. He's got like just a stack of brochure card, like the postcards for it.
Yeah.
Colin Robbins is so excited. It's so good. All right, I think that brings episode one here to a close. I'm really excited for next week, though. Next week brings in a character who's still in the show now in season three. You've kind of already met her, but you get to meet her again next week in kind of a new form. And she sticks around, and she might be like one of the most ingenious things in this show. I've read an entire article about how this character is the weirdest thing in this television show, but they also love her. So I'm done teasing it, but I'm pretty excited for it. Next week's episode is called Just Ghosts.
Yeah, just called Ghosts.
Yeah, Just Ghosts. we get the return of some characters. Get to see get the return of quite a few characters in a way. I'm excited. I don't know how to tease it without spoiling it, so I should just shut up about it. We should do our plugs, and then we should say goodbye. For this show and every other show on the ATH Network, be sure to check out ATHpod.com. Over at Behind the Hype, we are doing horror movie director B-sides. Our schedule's a little wonky because my schedule of editing has just gone completely crazy. But so far, we have covered The Serpent and the Rainbow by Wes Craven. Then we did Mimic by Guillermo del Toro. And then we're going to do The Gift by Sam Raimi. And we haven't figured out the fourth one yet. Kind of go back and forth on it. But we're very excited. So far, it's been a lot of fun. And so far, the movies haven't been great, but they're still enjoyable enough. So be sure to check that out. And then always be sure to check out Damage Boost. Brock is still crushing it, as he always does. And those episodes have been fantastic. Drew, what's going on with Demon Days?
Same stuff. We're actually waiting to get our next recording date in. But I believe the episodes are still flowing. We need to... If you're in the need for some horny tieflings trying to make their way through the world and figure out their place in the end of it, you should check out Demon Days.
And since you guys don't have a bunch of new episodes right now, I'll say the same thing I said last time. It's a great time to catch up because there's a lot of content there. And, lucky for you, it's all pretty damn good. So you got a lot of stuff you can catch up on.
It's true. We actually the audio changed about, I want to say, 9 or 10 episodes in, and we got a little updated because it was a little wonky there at the beginning. But we have a catch up episode that you can actually listen to if you want to skip those first few episodes. And then you can find me over at Strength24 on Twitch. And since I can, I'm going to plug. We're starting our new Alien RPG show. Over on Norse Foundry starting on Monday. And I'm pretty excited for it because we're doing the tie-in between Blade Runner and Alien. That's what we're playing in. Because the first episode, we are hunting a replicant.
Very fun. So,
yeah.
Wait, there's a tie-in between Alien and Blade Runner?
Yeah, it's the same universe. Ridley Scott confirmed it a couple of years ago, I think, that it's the, like, Weyland-Yutani is the same company as in...
Blade Runner. Fucking cool.
So we're playing our new show on Norse Foundry. We're going to be playing our DM's interpretation of what that tie-in is. So it's sci-fi, it's horror, it's going to be pretty awesome. That starts Monday the 11th of October. So come check it out.
So by the time this episode comes out, it would have been, I think, last Monday. But that means you already got to listen to.
True.
I can do calendar math. I'm getting somewhat better at it. I should be way better at it after this many years of podcasting. But just now, I've started getting a little better at it. Just a little. Matt, you got anything to plug?
It's my birthday tomorrow. Oh, however many days ago when this actually comes out.
It was your birthday at some point in the past.
Yes.
Happy belated birthday, as the dates and calendars work.
Okay, well, Drew's got belated. I'll take early. Happy early birthday, because we're a day early here, and then Drew's got... You're covered.
Yeah. It's my birthday at some point.
Perfect.
Some point. You have aged again.
Plugging having a birthday.
Yeah, all you weirdos out there without birthdays, start having them.
Yeah, all you weirdos who were born on the 29th of February.
Yeah, right. Fucking leap years.
All right. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We will see you next week with Ghosts. Bye.
Bye,
everybody. Bye.